listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen, in virtual, not virtual reality land, because my virtual screen is gone, which is actually, I kind of like, thank you, Sam, because people were thinking that I actually lived in that humble abode, but you can see here I am in our palatial, what we call the dingy bachelor pad in Santa Monica.
Much closer to the sidewalk.
Much closer to the sidewalk. check this out, y'all. Can you see that? It's me. I just found this picture of me. It's my father holding me up in the air. Could you imagine that today? Hey, Pop. Today, our special guest is Linda B. Schneider and, of course, our own Kathy St. George. Yay. Hello, ladies.
Hi there.
Nice
Good
to meet you.
Be here. I'm with my that dear friend.
Your dear friend, Linda, and you guys are in Pittsburgh?
Yes, we are.
We are in
what
Pittsburgh.
Part of Pittsburgh are you, Linda?
Actually, suburb of Pittsburgh.
This is her home.
Called Sewickley. Yes, we are at my house.
But we met in New York. She flew up there because we were scouting some things for her, the film that she's working on. And so she came up and visited me, and then I drove her back to Pittsburgh.
Fabulous. And Kathy's a lousy driver, so it must have been
I know. I saved our lives three times.
At least.
You know, let me tell you this first.
But I had to drive up on curbs to do it.
Well, first of all, I hope my cousin Ken is watching because he is from Pittsburgh, Mount Lebanon. My uncle John, they lived right across from Mount Lebanon High School for many, many, many years. Ken and his wife, Vicky, fabulous people. Hello,
oh, my Vicky. Gosh.
And they're in Texas now. They retired and moved to Texas. And but my mother was from Brownsville area, and my father's from Uniontown. I did this after my mom passed away. So, do I look too casual here? I don't care. Several years ago, it's been 20 years, mom passed away, and I went on a trip to Brownsville, Uniontown area, because we used to spend summers in Brownsville on my grandmother's farm. And there in Uniontown, I didn't even know it was there. My Aunt Virginia, God rest her soul, she was a kick. There's a Dean, last name is Dean, family plot or whatever you call it. And I can't remember the name of the cemetery, but it's really fascinating. It goes way back pre-Civil War. And on my father's side of the family, my dad didn't talk about his side of the family much. He was kind of estranged from his father, unfortunately. The point being, though, is that I'd like to get back up to that area. So we're going to have to get together.
Come yes. for a visit. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for being with us today, Linda. Kathy, when we did the show from Los Angeles, so Kathy was here. She was the, along with Dennis Olson. Hi, Dennis, over here.
Hello.
He looks like, can you see that? Something I can move? No, I'm not going to move. He's being studious. But Kathy was our co-host, and she was late all the time.
I already told her that. I party to the party every day.
Oh, hello.
You
had to make an entrance, and you always did. You're so lovely. But the first time I met Kathy, she came in that big old Land Cruiser or whatever it is, and she made a U-turn. She was with Larry Thomas.
Oh, my God.
I met it through her.
Yes.
Well, she was with Larry Thomas because Larry was kind of, the soup Nazi, and as well as an accomplished director, writer, actor, and all that good stuff.
Yes.
And she made this wide U-turn, and she had like 4 feet, but she hit the curb, boom, and went up. And I was like,
well, I didn't really hit it. I actually elegantly drove up on it.
Yes, you actually you did, because thank goodness you don't drive a Miata.
almost hitting a semi this week. It's been rainy, and the traffic was really bad.
Listen, I've been hit by a semi before in morning. Thank God we were only going like 30 miles an hour, and it was in morning traffic in Nashville, Tennessee, and he came over and hit me in the rear quarter panel, and my car flipped directly like to where he was pushing me, and the car went up on two wheels. And the police said that if I'd touched the brake, that he would have just rolled right over me. So watch out for those semis.
There were so many that it was scary. It was like a convoy.
That's how it is. Nashville is where I grew up, Linda. You know, my father, when my parents were young, they moved to now historic Levittown, Pennsylvania, where I was born. And then my father moved us to Nashville, Tennessee in 1974 when I was just a wee child. So I call Nashville home. But the point being is, now I'm just thinking about Nashville. which is, oh my God, if I hear one more person say Nashville is so cool, I'm going to slap them. Hi, Maybelline. Don't turn around. I'm just saying Maybelline.
I saw
them. The semi-traffic. The semi-traffic goes around the city because the major freeways that come together, meaning that you can't go anywhere without being surrounded by semi-trucks. And
Larry Thomas is listening to the show right now. Yes, just so you know, it just showed up.
Hi, Larry Thomas. Come and see me, Larry. I'm at the Mosaic.
We're talking about the show that we went and did, and I drove up on the curb. I mean, doesn't everybody?
Yeah, well, really, who am I to be critical? I drive a Volkswagen Tiguan, and I don't know why, but for whatever reason, the right front tire, I keep slamming into every curb. I think it's because I'm getting old, and my dementia is causing my dimension, visual, whatever, to be all screwed up.
It could also be being a bartender, and maybe.
Never. Look at these highs.
Oh, my God.
No, and that's not from a gin or scotch. It's just from,
you know. Oh, mine is.
I know, you party girl. We miss you, girl. Before I forget, let's say goodbye to Richard Roundtree.
Richard, yes.
And he was a great guy. I had the honor of meeting him. He used to be a regular at Wolfgang's. And, boy, he was a good-looking man and nice as could be. And last night at the, my rent-paying job is at the Mosaic Hotel in Beverly Hills. Everybody come and see me. I'm there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday for the time being. But I was trying to explain Shaft to this, when I say young person, she's probably 30. And I was singing, you know, and that Shaft is one bad mother. Shut your mouth.
I love that song.
I love that.
I know
every high school band in America plays that at halftime, don't they? Kathy, you're not missing a damn thing here in Los Angeles. Dennis was reading
on the weather.
Well, the morning
and
news.
You and Dennis.
Well, we miss you too. That they're dropping another kind of fruit fly to battle the Mediterranean fruit flies. So that's something that's exciting here in town.
Oh, that's very exciting.
No.
Fruits after fruits?
Okay. Well, you know what? Did you ever drive through northern Florida, either one of you? Oh, well, Kathy, you.
Oh, I drive. I drove. I love bugs. Love bugs.
Oh, my God.
I only saw a couple, and that's the first time I've seen them since I lived there.
The love bugs, they look like, Linda, they look like lightning bugs that are fused together. At the butt.
They're always having sex.
The University of Florida developed them to pollinate fruit trees in, you know, orange groves and all that sort of thing in North Florida. And it was an experiment gone completely wrong. And all they do is mate. And when I was moving to Florida back in 1983, and I'm on the expressway, and my buddy David's in his car, and there were like clouds of them. And, you know, we pulled over to get fill up at some truck shop or whatever, and they're like landing everywhere. And everybody was like, oh, they don't hurt you or anything, but it's just gross. It's like Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds with Bugs.
Wow. And having an infestation of Chinese lantern bugs right now here. No. And they are scary. They don't hurt you. They hurt the foliage, but they have red and black spots all over them. And their feet have white. They look like they're wearing white tennis shoes.
I remember as a kid in Levittown, we had a swimming pool, and those the Chinese bugs were always in the pool in the morning.
Yes,
and so there's a ton of them now, huh?
Is that a Chinese thing?
I can't even say that now. Oh, great! Not only are Chinese interests buying up every piece of land in this country, now they're sending those bugs in.
Sending the bugs in to eat up all the plants.
Well, we have snakes in Florida. It's pythons. We had 79 in 2 months right around where I live, 79 pythons. So I want to become a python killer.
We want to do a reality show about Kathy catching pythons.
Right. Have you seen that reality show about it's about the animal, you know, the exotic animal police or whatever? And that's what they do is they're showing one where this python was between this lady's fence and West Palm.
Oh, yes, I saw that. It's not reality. It's a comedy.
No, excuse me. Because I was like, man, this is a dragon-ass show, but they put that music in it. Let's talk about Linda B. Schneider.
Yes, let's please. I've known Linda for like 10 years, and she's one of these people that is always coming up with something fabulous. She's got a new treatment line. She builds – but she's also very interested in the industry, and she's picked some very wonderful projects to work on, and I'd like her to tell you about it.
Tell us about your upcoming movie, Linda.
Yes, my upcoming movie is about the world-famous Gaslight Cafe in Greenwich Village, where many, many musical icons got their start, including Bob Dylan, Tom Paxton, Carolyn Hester, Maria Muldaur. It's just
Johnny Cash.
Yes, Johnny Cash didn't actually get his start there, but he was such a fan of the place that he always dropped in when he was in town and would just unannounced come in and play a couple of sets.
How fun. And Jack Kerouac.
Oh, yes. Jack Kerouac, Allen Ginsberg, just an unbelievable mecca of talent that gathered at the Gaslight Cafe.
Yeah.
This song is about this song. This project has been on my radar for quite a while. In fact, I did the research on this like from the beginning of the project. And the more I researched, the more interesting it became. And we have our soundtrack is already produced and mastered, ready to go with some incredible talent. And Jimmy Hoyson, who is a 6-time Grammy Award winner, was the sound producer for the soundtrack, and
they sound just like
they do
their own singing, but they sound just like the original.
The real attitude of how much they sound like the original people was in Tulsa this past June. We were chosen as one of the presenters at the Bob Dylan World 2023.
Wow.
And it was a fabulous experience, and we were actually an immersive theater experience with a live excerpt from the movie, as well as a mini concert. And when our Bob Dylan walked on stage, everybody was just like mouth open. And then when he sang, they really couldn't believe
it. The soundtrack is so good.
Tell us the name of the movie.
The name of the movie is 116 McDougal Street.
116 McDougal Street.
Which they're deciding now. You know how movies have a working title? Now it might become the Gaslight, the John Mitchell story, because it's basically about this guy who moved to New York, and he actually bought the space, and the ceiling was too low, and he literally dug the dirt out himself and hid bags of dirt all over New York City until he got the floor low enough for the ceiling.
That's
and he
cool.
All the performers, his children. He called them his kids.
Yes.
Now I was reading. He's from Pittsburgh as well. Now, didn't like the movie? The fabulous show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
She performed there.
That is the Gaslight in the show, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Is that correct?
Correct.
You can only snap your fingers because of the people that live upstairs. They don't allow people to applaud.
How that came about?
Yeah. And then it became the cool thing to do, even in the clubs on the West Coast, where you didn't have to worry about someone being upstairs, but it all started at the Gaslight.
How fabulous is that? See, ladies and gentlemen, that's another tidbit that you learned on the Bob Dean Show. Yay.
Yay.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that knew that, but a lot more people are learning that today. That's fascinating.
And his granddaughter's actually involved with the project, too. She's a little beautiful.
Now, John Mitchell's tell us where John Mitchell comes into this, because I was trying to read up on all this.
John Mitchell was in the Korean War, and he had PTSD, and he was working in Pittsburgh as a used car salesman. He wasn't doing all that great at it, and he went to New York to see a friend in Greenwich Village. He had a flat tire and decided to stay. And he actually
sounds like me.
I was gonna
first opened Cafe Figaro, which was the first place that actually sold just coffee. So it was like the original coffee shop. And when he sold Cafe Figaro, he wanted to open a place with entertainment. He was always very involved and very helpful to people who were trying to break into the industry. And so he decided he wanted to open the Gaslight, which was in an old coal cellar. And this place was going to be the mecca of McDougal Street, where everybody who was anybody came to develop their craft. And in Bob Dylan's Chronicles, when he left Hibbing, Minnesota at 19, he had two things in mind that he wanted to do. And one was to play at the Gaslight. And the second one was to visit his icon, Woody Guthrie, who was in a mental hospital called Greystone in upstate New York because he had a disease that they really couldn't identify that had nothing to do with mental illness. He had a neurological disorder that made his hands shake. So that was why Bob Dylan showed up at the Gaslight to audition. And actually, Dave Van Ronk was the one who came, brought him in the first time. He met him at Folk City. Mm-hmm. And Bob came up to him and wanted to look at the guitar he was looking at. And so he let him come to the Gaslight and play a set.
Wow.
That was his first audition there. And before they even gave him an answer about whether or not he was accepted, he said, I can't play now. I have to go see Woody Guthrie. And so Lynn Chandler went with him and he went to see Woody Guthrie, who told him he should be writing his own music.
And that's when he started doing
it. That's amazing. John Mitchell was married to Martha Mitchell, correct?
Different John Mitchell.
Okay, see, that's where I'm so sorry because I was scanning over. You know, I'm sorry I didn't do more, as Kathy can tell you.
Right, a different John Mitchell. This John Mitchell, at the time that he came to New York to start the Gaslight, was not married. And his granddaughter came to me when she heard about the project and has joined as a producer. And she is a
stunning,
stunning, beautiful woman.
Well, who that was my next question. How did you were you introduced to this project and so she came to you? What's her name?
Her name is Julia Mitchell Conley.
Well, hi, Julia Mitchell Conley. Hope you're watching today or we'll speak, but please go ahead.
Hi, Julia. But she's been involved in this project for quite a while. We were moving right along with everything, and then COVID kind of hit. We were the grand finale for the Carnegie Mellon International Film Festival right before COVID hit. And even though the movie had not been completed, they asked us to be their grand finale because they believed so much in the project and were so excited about it. Well, so it was a theater, an immersive theater concert situation.
Describe immersive theater for us.
We did it at the New Hazlitt Theater in downtown Pittsburgh, and there's like levels of stages there. So we had the actual Gaslight with tables and patrons on stage. And then above that, we had the stage where the performers performed. And above that, we even had a third stage that we were working from. And we had a full band and we had a really terrific concert.
Like a 3D play.
Exactly. So the audience was like they were in the Gaslight experiencing this.
It's like, well, first of all, before I forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to call in and say hello and speak to the ladies, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. And Sam, our producer, says that it's all clear, so give us a call.
Great.
I did a play here in Los Angeles. It was the most fun I ever had. It was an interactive theater. It was like, you've heard of Tony and Tina's Wedding?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
This was a big gay North Hollywood wedding, and it was a great play. And for Los Angeles theater, it ran the first time for 9 months. And then we did it again. They did want to call it what do you call it when the play comes back again?
Revival.
Yeah, it wasn't a revival. But at any rate, it was this great play. It was like the Tony and Tina style. And it was about these two guys, two young men who were homosexual. And they get married, and it was in that St. Matthew's Church, and I played the very uptight Republican country clubbing father of the Shiksa, and he was marrying a Jew who's was raised by his uncle, who was a big movie producer, and it was a great show. It was, but you know, there was I had like 8 scripted lines, and everything else was improv. And it was so much fun.
Oh,
so I can imagine how exciting that must have been to have the different levels and tiers, for the stage. There's always something that, you know, never a dull moment. That's
never a dull moment. Live theater is a very challenging, shall we say. You don't get a second take.
No. And let me tell you what, as Sunda Kronquist, hi, Sunda. She's in New York recovering from some surgery.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah. So Kathy, please tell Linda more about Sunda when we're done. So you can
look at
this woman. She's a black Swedish Jew. She's the funniest woman I've ever met. She's a comic. But
and she's a chef.
Oh, wow.
She's a chef. Yeah, everything. Where was I just going with that? I'm losing my friggin' ever-loving mind, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, honey, that ship sailed.
but Sunda something. Oh, what was the interactive play? Linda, please forgive me. What was I just going to say?
We were talking about
immersive theater,
and anyway, let's just keep going. It'll come to me.
All I know is that that's where I pulled up on the curb, is in front of her play.
The LA School of Comedy, 1835 Santa Monica Boulevard.
Remember me?
I know what it was now, because I have a stand-up comic. I'm a comedian and an actor, which means I'm a bartender. I've been a bartender for 43 years, actually, Linda, and I've worked in every kind of place from 5-star dining to where they will kill you over a pool cue. Sunda and I were talking, and she's like, it means you don't want it bad enough, meaning if you don't get out there and hustle yourself. And the point of me saying that is I love live theater. And if it weren't for the fact that it's Los Angeles and I got to pay that rent, and I'm even rent controlled, I don't know how these people are doing it, but I would be out there auditioning for every project I could, because it involves, rehearsals and that sort of thing. And it's just evening time. I actually was cast in a play that never made it. We were shut down. We were in mid rehearsal, Hands on a Hard Body. And it was a play about one of those. It's been around for the story of the book, the play, whatever, where it's in this little town in Texas. And these people are in one of those contests where you have to keep your hand on the car.
Yes.
And it was a musical, and this happened, and we never made it because COVID came along. But the point of that being is that the only reason why I was able to work with that is because it was when I was when I was recovering from my horrific accident, where I had those 3 surgeries. So I had the time to rehearse at night.
Yeah, bartending is dangerous, really. Yeah, it really is.
But live theater is just golly, I love it. You said there's never a second take. It's so exciting, I have no rose colored glass about fame or fortune. Like I said, I've been a bartender. I came to Los Angeles and I threw my hat in the ring. And every time I get cast in something, I have a great time.
I'm going to show your commercial.
Please do. If I never get in front of the camera again for any paid gig, I did that. The best work I've ever done.
Well, when we were in New York, we actually went down and walked around McDougal and saw the Gaslight. And it still has the second door painted purple that it did in the 50s.
It's still an operating night spot.
It's an operating night spot, yes.
That is so exciting. We have a Gaslight here in Santa Monica that is a karaoke bar. And I swear to God, it's this big. There's a long bar, and that's it. But since COVID, they've been performing.
Well, I lived in Koreatown, so that's all we had down there was karaoke bars.
Oh. It's funny that you're in Santa Monica, because the very first interview and research was with Noel Paul Stuckey, and we were at McCabe's Guitar Shop doing the video and the interview for the very beginning of this project. So everything's back full circle.
That's so awesome. If you get back this way, we'll go out.
All right.
Yeah, actually, I got to say, I milk Santa Monica for the address. I'm actually in West Los Angeles, but I'm right where Santa Monica and Brentwood come together.
Yes.
So I let you could walk in either direction, 2-3 blocks, and you're
he
in.
He has the best party.
You can walk to where, this is what I say, you can walk to where OJ killed Nicole from my place.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. We did walk there once, remember?
No, we found a parking space right in front.
Yeah, right in front of
although me. But I know my friends are like, that is a joke in such bad taste. I'm like, well, you know my style.
Not a joke. We parked because it was an empty parking spot.
Yeah. Well, but I mean to say that. But I mean, yeah. So it's easier to say Santa Monica because they're technically M in Santa Monica than West LA because West LA went from Los Feliz to the South Bay.
About that.
I just had a funny thought, but my name, and this is going off track, and then I want to get back to just you. Marissa Hoffman, my neighbor, she is Pamela Anderson's body. She's a model and an actress, and she's adorable. And she is Pam Anderson's body double in that movie that Pam Anderson did not endorse, the one that they made recently, like 2 years ago. And she was being stalked by the reporters from The Sun because apparently the woman who played Pam Anderson was an English actress. And she had people, you know, not paparazzi, but, you know, reporters and all that following around. And she didn't realize they were reporters. She thought she was being stalked. And she's an adorable girl. And you've been to my home a zillion times, Kathy. You know how the setup is. Little garden apartment. We're in the back and that sort of thing. She lives right across the hall. And I came in at about 3 o'clock. We've had some, as everywhere in the world, I know New York has been plagued with this and Pittsburgh probably as well. With the change in the dynamic with homeless people and that sort of thing, the change in the dynamic of safety. And we've had some, there's a park under the corner. We've had these skater kids who are moving in their vans and all living on the street. I thought that I pulled up at 3 o'clock in the morning and there was a white van double parked in the driveway. And just as these two guys with long hair and tattoos got out and started running up the driveway. And I swear to God, I'm like, oh my God, they're here to kidnap Marissa. And it was our other neighbor, Joe, had some friends in a band that were crashing at his place. There's no point to that story. I don't know where I came
up with that. He has a Christmas party that's so great. But
happy birthday, baby Jesus cocktail soiree.
Happy birthday, Jesus cocktail soiree.
I love it.
It's a benefit for the animal shelter. I foster animals.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes, we all bring gifts for animal shelter. And it's a lot of fun, though. I'm usually the last to leave, in fact.
Well, I never party, whether it's 2 or 200 that show up. And my parties, if the first words out of your mouth is, what do? You got to go. Now, it's okay to ask somebody. It's okay to ask somebody.
Well, we know you forget to turn on the stove sometimes and cook the pork.
Oh, my God. You know, Joan Scholberl, who is our good friend, and she is a hairstylist here in Santa Monica. She lives in Beverly Hills. Oh, my God. I got to tell you this. And then I'm sorry. Friggin' Mosaic Hotel, where I work, Beverly Hills, South Spalding and Wilshire, okay? I mean, there was there's all kinds of coyotes into the whole area, you know, all the way through Beverly Hills and up.
I know.
It's crazy. And 2 nights ago, I forgot something. I made a U-turn, and we're talking, ladies and gentlemen, the lower Beverly Hills, it's gorgeous, but it's where commerce – it's south of Sunset, where commerce meets apartments and smaller homes. It's beautiful, but it's completely urbanized, commerce. Like I said, businesses that bumps into residential. A pack of running coyotes. They were chasing something. And I thought I was imagining it. I had no idea that they could run that fast. And there was a leader that ran across the intersection at Charlotte. It's a four-way stop, Charlottesville and Spalding. And this one goes running. There was a car that was going through. This thing goes running behind it and looked like a Greyhound, like on the side of a Greyhound bus.
Oh, no.
It was extended like this. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And then like 7 or 8 of them in a pack ran across behind it. And they made a U-turn and went straight up the thing. And what is going on with bears and coyotes and everything
I've
like that?
Do you have a street when I lived in Beverly Hills, come right down Doheny and stare me down when I had my puppy on the
exactly because you but you're further up into the Hollywood Hills, and what I'm saying, they're coming all the way down into the concrete jungle now.
Well, you know
why? They're not afraid of anything.
You know that, what is his name? Harry Dean Stanton. He used to feed the coyotes rotisserie chicken so they wouldn't eat everybody's pets in the neighborhood.
Wow. Listen, I know a guy that lives up in the Hollywood Hills, and he actually asks people to, if you're over there drinking beer or whatever, he has, and it's I hate to, for lack of a better term, he'll ask you to pee into a funnel if he knows you're good enough, because he uses that to put around the back of his property. I guess it helps to deter the coyotes.
Oh, so wow.
It's fine with me if I don't have to get up and move while I'm
I asked your nephew to pee in the backyard so Maybelline would have something to sniff and go pee. And he didn't do it. But now I know if he does, he's also chasing away coyotes. Now I'm going to ask him again.
Is your family, you're from Pittsburgh, and you have family there still? You're from Pittsburgh, anyway.
I'm not originally from
Pittsburgh.
Wait,
do you hear where she's from?
Yes, I am
originally from. Oh, wait. I read this. Go ahead. Tell us. This fast. Go.
I'm from Mayberry. Honestly,
that's what I was reading. It's all my notes to ask you about that. So yes. Tell us all the details of that.
It was actually so true to what really went on there. He fashioned most of the businesses and the characters from the people who lived there. Floyd the Barber, the barbershop is still there to this day. Floyd passed away a couple of years ago, but I would always go to see Floyd when I came to town. And it was like fabulous because he was really good friends with my father. And so when I came in, it was like I was a celebrity, even though I'm not. It was like, oh, my God, this is Ted Brower's daughter.
But Andy lived right across the street.
Is Mayberry in North Carolina true? Yeah. Or, okay.
It's Mount Airy, North Carolina, but it's a play on words. And
Mount Airy, I've heard about my brother's in Charlotte, and I have, you know, Chapel Hill and Asheville and that sort of thing. But Mount Airy is close to, I know I've heard, but it's close to where? But what major?
About 38 miles northwest of Winston-Salem.
And
it's very close to the Virginia line.
So
I live close to the Virginia line too, Pendleton.
Yes.
Pendleton was, that's right. Was Andy Griffith from North Carolina?
Yes. His parents lived across the street from my parents.
No kidding.
And his mother, the Aunt B character, was fashioned after his mom, and she used to make my dress up dresses for Sunday school.
That is marvelous. And see, ladies and gentlemen, you learned that on the Bob Dean Show. Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that lots of people know that, but a whole new genre are learning. That is fabulous. That
yes. I he lived in the Virginia Beach, Norfolk area.
And that's where I was born.
And I ran into him once after he was, I think he was on Matlock at the time. I ran into him in the Norfolk Airport. And he's so sweet. He came and he was taking his son, who was catching a flight to Los Angeles. And his son's flight left, and he came and sat with me until my plane left.
Can you believe it?
You know, I remember, you know, I am 62, but I'm 62. But, you know, that era is when your folks had those parties where the neighbors would come over and they'd smoke cigarettes and drink martinis and listen to comedy albums.
Right.
And the Andy Griffith album, I mean, I think my brother Greg in Charlotte still has the original copy that my folks would play. But it was hilarious because he was so young, Andy Griffith, and he's got this smile on his neck sticking out. And there's a thing that he talks about that it's a segment of comedy where he goes, what it was football.
And oh, my God, that was like his first big thing was that record.
Oh, my God. And it's absolutely hilarious that he's that. Now, I'll tell you, because he did, I apparently know the description of how they're chasing the ball and all that. If you don't laugh at that, then you're just dead.
In fact, we were watching Andy Mayberry just the other night with her daughter and her nephew. We were watching some of the shows.
Wasn't he called Andy of Mayberry like in the first season or two or something? Or
yeah, and then it became just the Andy Griffith Show, I think.
Yeah. Which morphed into Mayberry RFD, which was probably the worst show of all time.
Right.
In my opinion. That guy that played Howard Sprague, I just wanted to slap him. And but the Andy Griffith Show is just the best.
It really was. And it's so, they say you can't ever go back home, but I kind of can because all I have to do is watch a rerun of the Andy Griffith Show.
Now, has the town, it's called Mayberry.
They adopted that name for like probably 90% of the businesses there
Now, Griffith Parkway,
which was named after Andy, is Highway 52 that goes between Mount Airy and Winston-Salem. And Pilot Mountain is in between those two.
Is it still, thus Mount Pilot, is it still a small town? I mean, as it was when
very much a small town. There are some really large festivals there now based on the Andy Griffith Show. There's the Autumn Leaves Festival, and then there's Mayberry Days. And this little town holds like 250,000 people during that time period. You can't even move in town when that's going on. Right. But they shut down Main Street, and they have all sorts of arts and crafts, and they're pressing cider. So it's a very, very cool festival.
I just had to beat my child. Sorry.
Well, this is what I have to. Dennis was kind enough. Thank you, Danny. And I know Sam's looking as well.
Your watch says you have 10.
We have. That's my watch is screwed up.
That says 4.
We have like 4 minutes to go, so I want to keep going. But Linda, will you come back and join us? You guys come back and see us again maybe next week?
Oh, yes, because she's got so many other things going on.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
It's so exciting.
We're going to have some exciting news coming up soon about the movie.
Well, yes. Do you guys want to come back, not next Thursday, but the 2 weeks from today?
I don't know if I'll still be here, but we can do a...
Yeah, well, that'd be great because we're not signing off yet, but I got to go ahead and wrap it up because I always keep talking. And then Sam, our producer, is like,
I just want to give a shout out to the people on my cast and how wonderful they are.
Please, we've had 4 minutes, so please go ahead. Tell us.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know if I can name them all or not. Ross Wild plays Bob Dylan. Dave Anthony Buglione plays John Mitchell. Matt Weston plays Johnny Cash. Douglas Chumlin plays Salvador Dali, who is a regular at the Gaslight. And we have just so many, many talented people in this project. It's like
who's
crazy.
Who's the guy that plays my favorite character?
Oh, Clinton Clegg plays Dave Van Ront.
Who I love.
And J.J. Mason plays Woody Guthrie.
Yes.
I cannot wait to see.
And they also have a Billie Holiday.
We have a Billie Holiday character. We have Carolyn Hester's character is played by Haley Johnson, and Maria Muldaur is played by Rosanna Spindler.
Yeah, it's really great. And you know, the Dolly used to come in with an ocelot and sit. An ocelot. And the cat was there too. So we had to cast an ocelot. It's really hard.
Kathy, you look like you had a stroke. I shouldn't make fun of that. I'm sorry. But Maria Muldaur, Midnight at the Oasis. What a
Oh, my God. It was like one of my favorite songs.
It's so cool. The girl who's playing her actually ran into her. They were both playing at the same venue, and they got to meet each other and get photos made together. So that was really cool. Maria's a very, very sweet person.
Now, as I said, I go all over the place. Now, when did you leave Mount Airy?
I left Mount Airy initially to go to college. And I went to college in South Carolina, and then I came back to Mount Airy and did my medical training at the hospital there, where my sister was director of nursing and my mother was a dietitian. So it was fun having all of us there at the same time when I did my training. My degree is like in medical technology.
What I was going to say. What is your medical background in medical technology?
It's a clinical laboratory scientist. I was laboratory all the way.
Just give us a little bit of a rundown of your dossier or your resume, if you will. I mean, you know, just because we're going to get into all this the next time we get together, but we still have a couple minutes. So,
right. I have a log home company, and we manufacture northern white cedar log homes, and that's where we are right now. You can't see, but next time I promise we'll make sure you can see how lovely this house is. And I have a cosmetic line. I have a cosmetic line that is relaunching. I had it out for a while, and it's coming back out. It's called Evie, after my lovely...
I'm wearing the moisturizer and stuff right now.
after my love. Look like
a morning dew. It's called Evie, E-V-I-E.
E-V-I-E, yes.
And it's named after, you were getting ready to say.
It's named after my granddaughter, Evie. Yeah.
How lovely. Tell us about, how old is Evie?
Evie is 10. And she's very much into swimming. She swims like every day of her life. And she's kind of choosing a little path that's down the musical avenue, too.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
How many children do you have?
I have two children. I have two daughters.
And are they in Pittsburgh still?
Yes. And my oldest daughter
in the other bedroom.
Is in the other bedroom here with us. And she is my director of marketing for the Logcom company. And she's the one responsible for the wonderful website that's up right now for that company.
What is the website that we can look for?
Yes, yeah, she's a brainchild.
Yes, yeah, she really is
creative.
Yes.
Her name is, what is her name?
Her name is Nora Schneider.
Hi, Nora Schneider, in the other bedroom.
What's and her son is Mason, and he's in the other bedroom.
Yes. And Mason has recently taken a turn to music, which was surprising to all of us, but he's very talented. He's playing banjo and guitar.
But he he hangs out with me and lets me do his leg. I do Legos when I'm here.
Yeah. How old is Mason?
Mason is 20.
That's marvelous that the kid's got his, you know, because, you know, if getting encouragement from, you know, your family is the most important thing to help you to develop your artistic mind, which, you know.
It really is. And he's so talented. He's not taken any lessons yet. We're still trying to find someone to teach him banjo, if anybody out there does that. But his natural talent is amazing.
He's playing songs and stuff. I just assumed he had taken lessons. But yeah.
And he only got the banjo like the beginning of the summer. So his talent. Really,
you know, the banjo has had, you know, I think banjo is friggin' awesome.
I do too.
It is. And that was his choice, his first instrument that he wanted to play. And now he's added guitar to that. So
that's great. You know, it's like me doing I love stand up comedy. And because I've been a bartender, meaning, you know, to get the artistic side of us, like Mace, I flipped a coin literally in like 1983 to, it was either going to be Miami or Los Angeles, and Miami won, where I started my illustrious bartending career.
Wow.
And I have no rose colored glasses about, but when I do get up on stage through Student Crudequist, I had the opportunity to do many, many shows at the Laugh, at the world famous Laugh Factory. And the friends that Kathy and I share and the people that we know that are successful in front of the camera, they're like, you know, I don't know how you do it. That's the one thing that I'm the most frightened of doing. And I'm like, well, I guess it's because I've been behind the bar for so many years. Nothing scares me. I said, bring on the hecklers, you know.
Everybody tells me I should do that. And I always think.
You absolutely should, Kath.
And, you know, she's a comedian and so quick on her feet. I love being Kathy's friend. We've been friends for a long time.
She's hilarious and she's genuine and she's beautiful. She is. You're both beautiful.
The sweetest person in the world. I always say she's so beautiful inside and out.
She's really sweet.
But she's, you know, great.
This is how I met Kathy.
Bobbsey twins.
Well, then you could be. How I met Kathy was she came into when I worked at Wolfgang Steakhouse in Beverly Hills, which was the coolest bar.
It was.
And
it had the
toy one day. And I didn't realize that she was a Playboy playmate. And I remember she ordered a lemon drop with extra sugared rim. And when somebody says sugared rim, I'm just like.
Oh, he hates making special drinks like that. So I torture him more and more.
Yeah, but I mean, within 10 minutes, what happened was we started talking about something. And somebody brought up my Buick Roadmaster station wagon with the wood grain sides. And you said that you used to have a country squire with wood grain sides. And that's how we became friends.
Yeah.
Over the wood paneled station wagon, ladies and gentlemen.
It was a big one too.
Yeah. Well, we have that.
And then I went and saw you do stand-up.
You know, I like a big one, so do you.
So we became
friends. Yeah, I'm reasonably amusing.
Yes,
absolutely.
You are.
One quick story. So what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, please, we're going to have Linda B. Schneider, Linda Brown Schneider, And of course, the Le Bai. Are we still there? We just went off for a minute. I'm looking at the time. Dennis says we're 2 minutes over, and I thought Sam cut us off. But no, he types in. He goes, shut up. We're done. We're going to come back, and I want you guys to make an outline of everything that you'd like to discuss, because you're such a complex young lady that we're all going to be looking forward to digging in more. And Kathy, we'll do a three-way if Sam can set that up for us.
If it's possible, I'm not. Linda can do it, but I'd love to be a part of it.
We have to have you.
You turn the phones, vertical instead of horizontal, and then you can fit three pictures in.
Okay, we're wrapping up. Listen, Linda.
I'm telling you.
My partner Dennis, he's sitting over here. He's that Fidel Castro looking mother effer, which is what Ron Kirk. Ron Kirk, when we were doing the show from our previous studio when we were together, Ronnie Kirk, who was the general manager of Wolfgang's, remember that? He's hilarious. And he and his lovely wife, Jean, live in Texas now. But he's like, who the hell's that Fidel Castro looking motherfucker? And that's my partner, Dennis. We'll have him on screen next time. You can say hi to him. But we miss you, Kath. And Linda, nice to meet you. And we'll see you guys in 2 weeks somehow. All God willing.
Thank you
all for tuning into the Bob Dean Show on LA Talk Radio. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Linda, for joining us. And Kathy, that's what I was going to say. And then we're done. In the car, when I say call Kathy St. George, it goes, do you want to call Kathy St. George?
Oh,
St. Love you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Bob Dean Show, only on LA Talk Radio.